Book of Acts, chapter 15. I thought Fernie was making fun of me with that puppet that he brought up here. Guess not. Acts chapter 15, we'll look at the end of the chapter this morning. Very interesting passage before us, very raw passage. Father, as we turn our attention to your word now, I thank you that your word is so realistic and practical, that your word tells the whole story. And Lord, we are confronted with that truth that we live and operate in an imperfect church. And there can be difficulties and problems among us. And Lord, I pray that we would learn to work our way through those conflicts in such a way that glorifies you. Bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. As I have told you before, there are some Christians who tend to romanticize the early church. These Christians will say, hey, we need to go back to the book of Acts. We need to be just like the church in the book of Acts. And they have this picture of a wonderful, powerful local church that's changing its world. It's in perfect unity. Everyone gets along. There's no conflict. There's no trouble. Now, I agree that it was a powerful church that did change its world, and we should aspire to be like that as a local church. But understand, that first early church had problems. They had conflict. There were ugly things that happened. In Acts chapter 5, that married couple, Ananias and Sapphira, commit a gross act of hypocrisy which cost them their lives. In Acts chapter 6, there's a big fight between the Hellenistic Jews and the pure Hebrew Jews over widows. The Hellenistic Jews thought their widows were being slighted at the distribution table. Big fight. Last week, we studied how the early church had to convene on an emergency church council meeting over the dispute of a doctrine. There were big problems in the early church. And we see a real big problem in our text this morning. Two wonderful men of God get in a fight and actually split company. We, so to speak, have the first church split in all of church history in our text this morning. Let's find out what it's all about, who's involved. Look at verse 36. Acts chapter 15, it says, then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing. Paul and Barnabas had just returned home from the first missionary journey. They'd been out on the road together for about a year. Out on the road, preaching the gospel, planting brand new churches in brand new territory. They come back from their first missionary journey back to Antioch. And after they've been there for some time, Paul says to Barnabas, hey, I got a great idea. Let's go back. Let's retrace our steps. Let's go back out on the road. And let's go visit all of these churches, find out how they're doing. You know, in those days, they didn't have text, phone, video conferencing. If you wanted to see somebody, you actually had to go see them. And so Paul says, come on, Barnabas, let's go back on the road. Let's visit all those churches. Wonderful idea, right? Isn't that a great idea? Anything wrong with that idea? Beautiful. And remember, this is Paul and Barnabas, two pillars of the church. These are leaders of the church. These are committed men of God. Servants of Christ. So you have two wonderful godly men with a wonderful idea. And yet they'll get in a fight. Well, before we look at the fight they get into, we need a little prior history. Look back at the beginning of Acts 13, a couple chapters to your left. I want you to see what happened on their first missionary journey while they were out on the road together. Look at verse 4, Acts 13. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And when they arrived in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. They also had who? John as their assistant. So we find out when they began their first missionary journey, it was Paul, Barnabas, and John, also known as John Mark in the scripture. So John Mark says, hey, I want to come along. I want to be an assistant. I want to help you in the ministry as you go on this mission trip. All right, great. We got an assistant. Skip ahead a few months in the trip to verse 13 of chapter 13. Now when Paul and his party set sail from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. John bailed. John Mark quit. He quit the trip. The assistant left. Not only did he quit the trip, he didn't just go back to Antioch where they started. He went all the way back to Jerusalem. Jerusalem was his hometown. John Mark had a big house in Jerusalem. Actually, his mother did. It belonged to his mom. This was the big house we know where the early church gathered to have an emergency prayer meeting to pray for Peter when Peter was in prison. So John Mark went home to mama. Now, we don't know exactly why he left. We can only speculate. Perhaps the life of a missionary wasn't for him. Perhaps the challenges were just too great. Perhaps he got homesick. Or perhaps he got angry with the change in leadership during that first missionary journey. We know that there was a change in leadership during this first missionary journey. When this team was originally sent out, they're always referred to as Barnabas and Paul. So Barnabas, when it all began, was the leader. Look how it's referred to here in verse 13, that verse we just read. What does it say? Now when, who? Paul and his party. So we know that at some point during this missionary trip, Paul took over. Paul became the leader. Paul became the guy who called the shots. And perhaps John Mark didn't like that. And so he split. Okay, back to 15. So here they are, ready to go on their second missionary journey. Paul says to Barnabas, hey, let's go back on the road. Verse 37, now Barnabas was determined to take with them, who? John, called Mark. But Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. Barnabas says, great idea, Paul. It'll be just like old times. John happens to be in Antioch again. Let's take him with. Paul says, are you crazy? The guy who deserted us on the first trip? Barnabas is like, oh, come on, man. Let's give him another chance. We know he failed, but come on. Let's give this guy another chance. Paul's like, no way, Barnay. Not going to happen. And I want you to notice two words that really stand out to you in verse 37 and 38. It says, Barnabas was what? Determined. But Paul, what? Insisted. Both of those words speak of coming to a decision, a firm resolve on a matter after much dispute and debate. So, I mean, this was something they talked about. And after it is all the talking is done, Barnabas is like, John Mark must come with us. And Paul's like, John Mark must not come with us. Verse 39, check this out. Then the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. The Greek word contention is paroxysmos. We get our English word paroxysm, which means violent action or emotion. This is a word in the Greek that means heated irritation. In fact, it's a medical term. It could be used to speak of a person who gets a fever. They are hot around the collar. This was not a mild gentleman's disagreement, but an intense and passionate conflict. And you know what? They split. They took off. They parted ways. Goes on to say in verse 39, and so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Barnabas takes John Mark, we're going our way. Paul says, fine, I'll get another partner. They get Silas and they go their way. It's ugly. It's a split. Now, what's going on in this conflict? Well, first let me say this. This was not a moral issue. This isn't a sin issue involved. It's not like they're dealing with a moral issue. Morals are absolute. Right is right, wrong is wrong. They're not dealing with that here. That's not the case here. Also, this isn't a doctrinal issue, is it? They're not debating any kind of doctrine where that can be very important on exactly how you believe. That's not the case here. This isn't a sin issue. This isn't a doctrinal issue. I believe this was a personality conflict. I believe you have two men of God with two different personalities. And they butted heads. Barnabas, we've studied Barnabas. His name means the son of encouragement. Barnabas was a people person. He loved people. He was very sensitive towards people, very compassionate towards other people. Barnabas is the guy who wants to help people up, take them by the hand, work with them, very patient. If you remember, right after Paul got saved, he went to Jerusalem, and the church didn't want Paul. They were afraid of him because he had been the chief persecutor of the church, and they're like, can we trust this guy? Guess who smoothed that whole thing over? Barnabas. Barnabas was the one who said, come on, Paul. Let me introduce you to the apostles. He was a people guy. Barnabas was the guy who went and found Paul in Tarsus and said, you know what, come be a part of the church in Antioch. We'd like to help out. We'd like you to help out. So from Barnabas's perspective, it's like, man, we got to give John Mark another chance. Come on. Now, Paul was your type A personality. Paul's the worker. For Paul, it's not so much about people, it's about work. He's way more concerned about the work than the people with him who are doing the work. I don't think Paul was very compassionate or sensitive to other people. At least certainly not as compassionate or sensitive as Barnabas was. And so from Paul's perspective is, hey man, we're going to go on the road and this is going to be hard. We need workers. I don't need a baby with me on my team. I don't need somebody who's going to desert us right in the middle. And so you have these two strong men of God with these very strong personalities. Hey, listen, it'll happen in every church. There will be fights, disagreements among Christians, not over moral issues, not even over doctrinal issues, but a lot of times some of the ugliest fights in a church are just simply personality conflicts. You know, if you have a personality type in which you view the world, you see the world through this window, you're very comfortable with others that are like you. You're uncomfortable with those that aren't. And a lot of times those kinds of things will rear their ugly heads in a church. Know that. Be aware of that. There's also something else that may have been going on here. We find out later from the scripture that Barnabas and John Mark were cousins. Ooh. They're related. And so Barnabas, already being a compassionate, sensitive guy, would even be more compassionate and sensitive towards his cousin. You know, Barnabas may have even used that excuse with Paul. Oh, come on, Paul, he's my cousin. Paul's like, I don't care if he's your twin brother. And that may have explained why John Mark left on the first trip. His cousin got replaced? You see all these things that can happen in a church? The family connections? The personality conflicts? And understand, a lot of that isn't necessarily sinful. It's just a reality of the church this side of heaven. Know that, work through it. Okay, who was right, Paul or Barnabas? I'd almost want to do this with a raise of hands. How many of you think Paul's right? How many of you think Barnabas is right? But I don't want to create any fights after church during lunch. Who was right in this matter? Was Paul right or Barnabas? You know, a lot of people say that Paul was right. And the reason they give is the fact that Barnabas and John Mark are never heard from again in the book of Acts. This is the last time you read their names in the book of Acts. That's it. They're out. The rest of the book of Acts tracks Paul and Silas throughout their second missionary journey, Paul on his third missionary journey, Paul to Jerusalem, eventually Paul to Rome. This is it for Barnabas and John Mark. And so they say, well, that shows Paul was right. I don't agree with that. Who wrote the book of Acts? Luke. We know that Luke joined Paul's team. In fact, became a personal doctor. And so Luke had the personal eyewitness account with Paul. So it follows, he wrote it, it follows his story. Just because we don't hear of Barnabas and John Mark again, doesn't mean that God didn't use them on their journey. God probably used them in mighty ways. So who's right? My view, they both were. They're both right. What's wrong with giving another guy a shot? Is there anything wrong with that? That's right. What's wrong with being concerned about a work and whether or not somebody on your team is going to be ready for that work, because it's going to be dangerous work and hard work and all hands on deck? What's wrong with that idea? They're both right. They both saw it in their way, what they thought was right in their conscience, and they move forward. And you know, I think that's some of the attitude that we need to bring when we get into the conflict of church members. Both are right. Try to see both sides. Look at both perspectives. Be careful what you fall on your sword over. Mm-hmm. The best thing for us would be to become a blend of Paul and Barnabas, don't you think? As Christians, we should become like a Barnapaul, a Paulnabas. You know, seek to find that balance of loving people and being very conscious and patient with people and yet doing the work. We should seek to be a blend. Some of you here this morning are those type A personalities. I mean, you are a go-getter. You are on the move. You are doing the work. And truth be known, you've left a trail of hurt people in your wake. Maybe you have driven your spouse nuts. Your children are exasperated. You're way over here. Why don't you consider swinging over here towards an attitude that's more patient and compassionate with people? On the other hand, you may be over here where you're just all about people. And everything's people, and you don't want to upset any people. And because of that, people walk all over you. People exploit your compassion. They exploit your time. You're in charge of something, and it never gets done properly because you're so concerned about the people. Maybe that's you this morning, and you should consider swinging a little more over here and that being more mindful of the work. Find that balance. And you know what? We need the Holy Spirit to do it, don't we? To be that balanced Christian man who cares about the work and people at the same time. So we have an ugly, ugly passage. But I want you to notice that God does amazing things despite it. God uses this for the expansion of his kingdom. At the beginning of this passage, how many teams are going out on the mission field? One. After this fight, after this dispute, how many teams are going out on the mission team? Two. And a brand new guy named Silas has been raised up. So as a result of this, you got double the manpower, two teams going out into the mission field. God used it. Now, check this out. The first time I ever saw this, I think this is incredible. Remember, the initial idea was for Paul. Paul says to Barnabas, let's go back and retrace our steps, right, from that first missionary journey. So Paul's idea was, let's go back, sail to Cyprus, and go through and revisit all those churches. Well, look what it says at the end of 39. So Barnabas took Mark and sailed to where? Barnabas and Mark are the team that retraced the steps of the first missionary journey. What better guy than Barnabas to send to churches that are already established for the purpose of encouraging, strengthening, supporting, loving? Can you pick a better guy for that? Barnabas, the people guy? Verse 40, it says, Paul chose Silas and departed. He went through Syria and Cilicia. Paul and Silas went north. You know where that was? Uncharted territory. Portions on the globe that have never heard of Christ. Brand new. What better guy to send into uncharted territory than a type A personality guy like Paul the Apostle? Man, I think it's absolutely beautiful. Despite this argument, God literally moved Paul and Barnabas in a way that suited who they were to the job at hand. We have a God who uses imperfect people. Understand, the church can be ugly sometimes. The church is comprised of imperfect people. And yet, despite that, God uses it. Wonderful ways. There's also a wonderful ending to this story. This is a pretty big fight. This is pretty serious, don't you think? Do you think they'll ever reconcile? How are Paul and John Mark ever going to reconcile? They run into each other at Target and they're like, nah, I'm not going to. You ever gotten that? Gotten a real knockdown fight with another Christian and then you run into him at the store and it's like, ooh, awkward. John Mark and Paul, man, they fought. They're like, no way. Years later, when Paul is in Rome, in a prison, he'll write a letter to a church that he planted in Colossae. The New Testament letter is called Colossians. And at the end of all of Paul's letters, he writes greetings to various people. He says, tell so-and-so hi, and all this. Listen to what he writes at the end of Colossians chapter 4, verse 10. I'm just going to read it to you. Paul writing, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you with Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, about whom you received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. Paul's in prison. John Mark is with him in prison. Either in prison with him or visiting him. There's been some healing. Later on, Paul will write his last letter that makes it into the New Testament, 2 Timothy. This is the last letter Paul writes. Again, he's in prison in Rome. He will be executed by Nero. He's being martyred. This is his last words. And listen to what he says towards the end of 2 Timothy as he's giving greetings. He's writing to Timothy and he says, be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica, Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me, he writes. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me in the ministry. They made up. One of two things happened, probably both. John Mark proved himself eventually to Paul. Let's be honest, deserting a mission trip, that's pretty serious. But eventually, John Mark proved himself. Paul also mellowed a bit as he got older, I'm sure, and began to see the importance of people. Time heals, doesn't it? You can get in big fights with other people, but time heals. People grow. There's change. There can be reconciliation. Quite an interesting story, don't you think? It's very clear from the book of Acts, and it's clear throughout church history. We are imperfect. There were problems in the local church in the beginning. There are problems, or have been problems, in every local church since, and there will be problems in every local church until Jesus Christ returns. Understand that and embrace it. Do your best to be a part of the solution. Every now and then I run into a Christian who has become very sour towards the church. and you ask them about it, and they give you a horror story of something that happened to them in their last church or the church before that. Oh, I tried. I was a part of church, and I just got so hurt. I got so wounded at church. Hey, man, join the club. It happens. But this person says, I'm never going to be involved in church again. I'm not going to. Listen, come on. This side of heaven, this is what we got. And God uses us despite it. Be a part. We need each other. We need each other. Somebody said the local church is like a pack of porcupines who gather together to stay warm on a cold night. We need each other, but we also needle each other. That's the way it exists. There's always room for more imperfect people in the church. You can sign up. You know, some people say, well, if I become a Christian and I go to church, am I going to have to start living this perfect life like everybody in the church? Well, does everybody live a perfect life in the church? Join the crowd of imperfect people, becoming more and more like Christ every day by the power of the Holy Spirit. Or some say, I'm not going to be a part of church. There's a bunch of hypocrites in church. Self-admittedly, we are not perfect. Nobody said we were. Join the imperfect people. What, are you perfect? I'll tell you one thing, though. Our Savior is perfect. The one we follow is perfect. If you want to become a member of the church, you do so by having all of your sins forgiven. Members of the church are imperfect people who have been forgiven by the perfect sacrifice of Jesus, who died and rose again. Sign up. So, Father, as we close, search our hearts. Maybe you've touched an area in our lives this morning by your Spirit that we really need to work on. Father, I pray by your Spirit we would become wise and discerning, patient, forgiving. Lord, help us come to that right balance between doing work and loving people. Again, Lord, I thank you for the absolute reality that comes forth from your word, that there are problems, there are conflicts. And for those who are here this morning who have stopped being involved in your work because of that, I pray that you'd bring them back, giving them the right expectation of what church is like today, this side of your glorious heaven. I pray that we would all work together. And then, Lord, I want to pray for anyone here this morning who needs right now today to give their lives to you. You're here this morning, and you need to have your sins forgiven. It's time right now. You need to be saved. You need to give your heart to Christ. He died for you, rose again. If you've never received him, do it right now. Say, how do I get my sins forgiven? How do I become a Christian, you ask Jesus. You go, open your heart in a prayer. Ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. He's alive. He's right here in the midst. Quietness of your heart, you pray this with me. And he's listening. He'll hear. Say, Lord Jesus, take me, the imperfect person that I am. Take me, Jesus, with all my flaws. I admit that I am flawed, that I'm a sinner and I need all my sins forgiven. Thank you, Jesus, for paying the price for my sins, for dying in my place. Come into my heart, be my Savior. Fill me with your Spirit, make me a member of your church. And help me by your Spirit to do the best that I can in working with others in the expansion of your kingdom. Amen.